This is great timing because we went to some very old plots and old technology and ideas to now I'm going to present something a little newer, the precision agriculture end of cotton. Hopefully that's where cotton is moving in the larger fields. We're looking at the effect of soil spatial variability on primarily lint quality, but also lint yield, because a lot of times those two things do go hand in hand. And I'd like to especially acknowledge the author, Scott Stanislav, because he's an undergraduate student at Texas A&M University. He has collected most of this data and actually done most of the data analysis. So, overall, our project goals were just to look at how we have large fields that were implemented for looking at precision agriculture. They're in a cotton-corn rotation, and we just wanted to know how soil spatial variability affects the lint quality. So more specifically, when we wanted to map variability of the soil, particularly we felt like soil moisture was what contributed to most of the yield variability in the field. We wanted to relate the soil moisture to cotton quality and the amount of cotton that's in the field at the end of the season. Then we wanted to go ahead and create some profitability maps. Well, that's one of the big things in precision agriculture. I came from the Midwest, so especially in corn, it was found really useful to actually look at one's return on investment, because again, large yield doesn't always mean the most profit, and small yield doesn't always equate to the least profit. So really knowing how your costs and your overall gross income go together is really important. And lastly, by looking at these maps and 2 years of observations, we wanted to see what kind of ideas we could come up with that would improve implementation of precision agriculture in cotton. So we were working in Texas. This is the Texas A&M Impact Center. It was developed to look at precision agriculture technologies. It is in a cotton corn rotation. It's also in the Brazos floodplain. And if you'll look, this is an EM38 map, electrical conductivity map, overlaid on an aerial photo. And let's see, there's the mouse. If you look at where the mouse is going, it's actually following an old river channel. So right in there. So about 300 years ago, this was the Brazos River channel. So in the red, the electrical conductivity values that are in red are very low values. And so they're correlating with the overbank levee right off of that river channel, and they're very sandy soils. As you get, keep losing the mouse, as you get further away from the channel, you get into areas where the clay content increases significantly. So we have extremely variable fields from sandy loams all the way to silty clays and clay soils. The other thing to note here, what we did is we cut this field in half. So in 2006, the bottom part of this area was in cotton, and in 2007 it was in corn, and then the top area was in cotton in 2007. So in 2006 we looked at the cotton yield and quality in the lower half of the impact center, and in 2007 we looked at the upper half impact center. So the experimental design was that we took an EM38 map and we delineated it into three zones, high, medium, and low. The way we did the zones is we just initially just divided it up. We took the maximum and the minimum and did equal intervals of electrical conductivity. After the end of 2006, some new papers came out using electrical conductivity maps in cotton, and they suggested using fuzzy k-means to classify your three categories. And so we went ahead and did that for 2007 and then looked at our 2006, and whether you take equal intervals or fuzzy k-means, you essentially end up with the same zones. So after we delineated the zones, we did what we call a stratified random design, where the stratifications were the EM38 values, zone 1, 2, and 3. And then within each zone, we randomly selected 4 sites that we looked at throughout the season. And we had 4 sites per zone in the irrigated and 4 sites per zone in the dry land. In 2006, here, the irrigated is this little pie-shaped field, and the dry land was the edge of this pie, and this rectangular field. In 2007, the irrigated, again, is this pie shape, and we cut off part of the pie, in the numbers here, the locations with threes and twos were dry land, and then the outskirts of this field were dry land as well. So the way you see these numbers, four, fives, and sixes represent irrigated, and one, twos, and threes represent dry land. At each of the samples, we measured water content biweekly with a neutron moisture gauge. And then we also, at the end of the year, harvested 1/1000th of an acre at each of the sites and did quality and amount of yield. We had two very different yield years, which turned out to be a good thing, so we could really see, everybody. We got both spatial and temporal variability. In 2006, it was a fairly typical year for Texas. Typical rainfall, which just meant that as the summer moved on, the cotton was more and more stressed from water deficiency. 2007, the best way to describe it was wet and cold. We had a lot of rain. There was really no need to irrigate at all, and it was cold and cloudy, so the cotton was very unhappy most of the year. In fact, we had the irrigated and the dry land treatments, but essentially in 2007, the irrigated was only irrigated once, and it shouldn't have been because the very next day it rained, so there was really no difference between them. This will give you an idea of the spatial variability. This is 2007 in the irrigated field. So even though it was irrigated, there was still very little water deficiency. And here is Scott standing in the field. In some of the areas, the cotton was very tall, and Scott is 6'7". And then here in other areas, it was very, very short. This is all the same cultivar, same treatment, same fertility, everything. Very variable fields. So these are the results that we got. The first thing we wanted to do is make sure electrical conductivity was responding to soil variability, particularly soil moisture storage. So on the x-axis, we have soil electrical conductivity. On the y-axis, we have water holding capacity estimated using neutron access tubes. In 2006, you can see that as electrical conductivity increases, so does water holding capacity. An interesting thing you see here in the dry land, there seems to be a lower intercept. We think really this, we used an inherited soil electrical conductivity map, and what we think is there was some drift in the map. So actually, I have someone this week going out and doing a more recent electrical conductivity map, and we think that we'll get rid of this difference between the two, the dry land and the irrigated. If you look at these red dots among the other irrigated points, that's from the dry land field that was very close to the irrigated field. So we really think that this is just some measurement error. In 2007, we did have a brand new electrical conductivity map, and you can see the relationship is quite tight, and there's really no difference between the dry land and the irrigated. So for lint yield, again, on the x-axis, we have electrical conductivity. On the y-axis, we have total yield, and you can see there's a direct relationship between electrical conductivity and yield. In 2007, there's no difference between irrigated and dry land, which we already knew there wouldn't be. And you can see these wetter soils, the clays and the silty clays, there's actually a decrease in yield because of waterlogging. But actually, if you look over in the irrigated in 2007, we're seeing the same thing. Because the irrigation was for kind of the medium textured soils in the field, there's some waterlogging also going on at the higher water content areas in the irrigated field. So this is an example where possibly you might want to look at your irrigation strategy and change it up to maximize your yield. As far as the quantity goes, we saw the same relationship with most of the quality parameters. In 2006, there was a direct relationship between water holding capacity and cotton quality. In this example, we're showing length, and again, just a very nice direct relationship. A little bit difference in the slopes, but it's not very significantly different. In 2007, even though there was a fairly strong relationship with the amount of lint yield, the quality was fairly uniform across the field. So if you remember back to that picture of Scott, we had really tall cotton and really short cotton. The yield was very different, but again, the quality wasn't very different at all. Same with uniformity. Found the same thing in 2006, a direct relationship between soil moisture storage and uniformity, and nothing in 2007. So what we did is we took the cotton quality parameters that we measured, and we took them and converted that into what the crop was worth based on the loan rate, and we multiplied that by the total yield, and we interpolated our values using the electrical conductivity maps. And these are the profitability maps we came up with. The costs that were put into the profitability map were the cost of seed, the cost of chemical, and the cost of fuel. The only cost in irrigation. The cost that is not put into this is labor. That was a little bit hard since we work on a research farm. But so these values are a little higher than the true cost. But the interesting thing here is in this dryland field in 2006, you essentially made no money. If you'll notice red, I put red as negative or no money. And then as we get to the black, with the accountants always want to be in the black, that's the most profit that you would have in this area. And so in 2006, there were some really good profits. And this is the interesting thing. Again, here in 2006, right in here is the irrigated field. At the end of the irrigated field is the dry land. You'll notice in 2006 in the dry land, it was the heavier clay soils that had the maximum profitability, whereas in the irrigated, it was the medium textured soils that had the maximum profitability. Again, this was an example of waterlogging. So one thing that we could do is install some capacitance probes and try to do a little bit better job of irrigation scheduling. In 2007, no difference between dryland and irrigated. And again, the crop was stressed, and so we had about a medium yield. The most important piece of information I think that you can glean from these profitability maps is just looking at the places that are fairly marginal. It's the marginal areas that we could probably improve our profitability. Your good soils are just good soils. You know, it doesn't take a good farmer to make money off of good soil, but it does take a good farmer to make money off of a marginal poor soil. So the strategies we identified were essentially to identify the low and no profit areas and maybe look at reducing seeding rates. You know, if you remember, the yield was correlated to water holding capacity, but in the wet year, the quality was not. And so one of the questions that we have is if we reduce the seeding rate in the lower water holding capacity soils, could we possibly increase the quality because the plant would be less stressed, less competition? That's one thing we'd like to test. The other thing is reducing chemical inputs in your low profit areas. There may be some chemicals it's just not worth putting out there. Or places where you never make a profit, you might just look at taking out a cotton. And lastly, one of the ideas we had was to go ahead and look at harvesting to maximize the quality to get the best price on individual bales. And when we first started, this is kind of a pie in the sky idea, but now with the new bale making technologies where the bales are much smaller and you know you create them actually in the field instead of using a module builder, this might actually start to become a better possibility. So in conclusion, the Soil EC maps did map water storage. In 2006, very interesting results in that quality and yield were associated with soil moisture storage. But in 2007, only yield was related. Yield quantity was related to soil moisture storage. Cotton profitability maps can be made without a yield monitor. Here we are on a research station, and we had a yield monitor, but it was very difficult to get reliable yield monitor data. First, our yield monitor is really old. So in 2006, we had no reliable yield monitor data. 2007, part of the field we did and part of the field we didn't. So we had to be creative and use electrical conductivity map to get our yield maps. And so there are strategies and possibilities for precision ag and cotton, and we just need to start exploring them and doing some tests. I want to acknowledge our funding sources and also Vince and Al at the Texas A&M Farm Services that did a lot of the planting and taking care of our cotton. They did a great job. So thank you.
We would have time for one quick question. How did you calculate the net profits again? Is that
including seed costs, technology fees?
Yes, sir. All of our costs except hourly labor.
Okay.